Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, Joshua chapter 5. I had one of our ladies, who I won't name tonight, come up to me Sunday and said, Pastor, you're skipping chapter 5 in the book of Joshua, aren't you? I said, no, why would I do that? She said, well, it's all about circumcision. There's nothing we can learn about circumcision because, you know, we just don't do it for the same reason that they did it back then. I said, well, no, I think God has everything in there for a purpose, and so we're going to cover it. And so you'll see that's we're going to try to get through the first 9 verses tonight in chapter 5. The Israelites, we left them last week. They just crossed the Jordan River. God had worked in a miraculous way to make a dry path through the river and keep it dry until all the people got over. Now, he was going to do that again to that river a little bit later on for 2 other guys. He was going to do it for Elijah as he and Elisha passed over before Elijah was taken into heaven. And then when Elisha came back by himself, God split that river again so that Elijah could walk over on dry ground. And I mention that because God loves the one just like he does the many. And God works for the one just like he does for the many. In Acts chapter 8, you remember Philip had a great meeting in the city of Samaria. He preached Christ, and the Bible says that the people with one accord gave heed, and many, many people got saved. But then after that, in that same chapter, God sent Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch, preached Christ to one, and one got saved. So God works for the many as well as for the one. So they crossed the Jordan River. They set up 2 monuments, one in the river itself and one in a place called Gilgal. Those 2 monuments of stone were to help them remember what God had done and to teach their children what he had done as they'd come into the promised land. And it says, we ended up last week with verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. So now they're ready to take the promised land. They're ready to go up against Jericho, which is going to be the first city that they're going to fight against. It's going to be their first victory. But there's something that needs to be done before they take that city. There's something that needs to be done before they go ahead and take the land of Canaan. And that something is the subject of the first part of chapter 5. And so in verse 1 it says, and it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which are on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. So all the kings heard about what happened. Now, Rahab had told the spies. She says the people are just afraid of you coming. They've heard what God did for you at the Red Sea. But it seems that the kings of these people still had hope. But when word spread, and I think it spread from the city of Jericho, that God had divided the Jordan River and had kept it divided till all the people got over, these kings lost their hope. Their hearts melted. Their spirits, that spirit that said, oh yeah, that we don't have to worry about it. We can, you know, we have walled cities and we have big armies. We can defeat this people. When they heard what God did at the Jordan River, their hearts melted, their spirits departed, and they too knew that they were in trouble. You know, I think God is working today in this world. I think many people don't see it as the hand of God, but one day they are. And when they see what goes on is really the hand of God, the same thing is going to happen to them that happened to these kings here. Their heart is going to melt, and the spirit that says, well, I don't need God, the spirit that says, I can get by without God, they're going to realize that he is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, every knee is going to bow and every tongue confess that he is God. Now look at verse 2, and I want to read verses 2 through 9. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. Now let me just tell you right quick, I don't know what it means the second time. I studied and studied and studied and studied. A lot of people have theories. A lot of people think there was a mass circumcision at Sinai. I find nothing in the Bible about that. Some people think it was the first time was talking to Abraham when circumcision was instituted. But I have no idea. If I remember when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask the Lord what the second time means in this verse. But I have no idea what the second time means. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in the place in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you, wherefore the name of that place is called Gilgal unto this day. So Joshua was instructed to circumcise the people. And again, I don't know what it means the second time, but I do know this. Before God could give them the land of Canaan, they had to be circumcised. And here's why I say that. Circumcision was instituted in Genesis chapter 17. Let me just read a couple of verses from there. This is God talking, and he's talking to Abraham. And he says, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to the seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. The word covenant means agreement. There was a two-part agreement that made up this covenant. God's part was he was going to be a God to this people. And he was going to give them and their seed after them the land of Canaan, the land in which Abraham dwelt as a stranger. That was God's part of the agreement. That was God's part of the covenant. Now, man's part of the covenant, what man was to do, that they were to be circumcised. And it says, every little boy, 8 days old, was to be circumcised. And it says in verse 14 of that same chapter, Genesis chapter 17, and the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. So the covenant or the agreement that God had with Abraham and all his descendants was, I'll be your God, I will give you the land of Canaan, but you need to be circumcised. That's the agreement. Now, God was about to keep his part of the promise. He had brought the people across the Jordan River. He was about to give them the land of Canaan. He says, you need to do your part now. You need to keep your part of the agreement. You need to keep your part of the covenant. He said, all the people that came out of Egypt were circumcised. But all the people that were born in the wilderness, as they traveled the 40 years or so in the wilderness, they had not circumcised. Now, we quickly jump to the conclusion, well, they didn't circumcise people in the wilderness because they were traveling all the time. You know, circumcision is a painful procedure especially if you're older. It takes time. You're in a weakened state. I'm going to tell you a story in just a minute from the book of Genesis that illustrates that. But they were moving all the time, and therefore they didn't circumcise. No, I don't believe that's true. Because there were times, if you go back and you read about the wandering in the wilderness, that the people of Israel stopped for months. One time, almost a year. Could have very easily circumcised the people there. I believe that they did not circumcise them in the wilderness because God was not going to give that group of people the promised land. Because they had disobeyed him. When God had told them, brought them to Kadesh Barnea and says, here's the land, go in. Remember they sent the 12 spies, 10 of them came back and said, oh, the people are too big. And the people decided, we can't do it. We can't take it. Doesn't matter that God said to do it. We can't take it. And as a result of that disobedience to God, God said, okay, I'm going to break my promise. I'm going to break my covenant. I'm not going to give you that land. In fact, he said in Numbers 14, after the number of days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know, now listen to this, and ye shall know my breach of promise. God says, I'm going to break the covenant because you already broke it. You didn't do your part, so I'm not going to do my part. He was talking about all those people that had come out of Egypt who had already been circumcised, but they did not go in to get the land. I mentioned last week, the people came out of Egypt on the 15th day of the first month because they came out the day after Passover. Passover was the 14th day of the first month. They crossed the Jordan River on the 10th day of the first month, almost 40 years later. Okay, 39 years, 11 months, and 26 days. Okay? And next week we're going to talk about how they kept the first Passover in the Promised Land right after they were circumcised. But, so they had wandered in the wilderness 40 years. Everybody over 20 except Joshua and Caleb were dead. Now God comes to a group of people and says, I'm going to keep my promise with you. Just like I promised Abraham and all his descendants that I was going to give you this land, I'm ready to keep my promise. But before he would or before he could, they had to keep their part of the agreement. They had to be circumcised. You see, I tell you all that to just make this point. Most, if not all, the promises that God has for us in this book are covenants. They're agreements. There's something that we have to do before God can do what only he can do. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's willing to save anybody. He wants to save everybody, but he can't save anybody that doesn't call on him. That's our part of the agreement. We have to know that we're a sinner. There's a penalty for sin. Christ paid the penalty, and then we have to call upon him. God does the saving, but if we don't do the calling, he can't do the saving. He says to us as Christians, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. And we can see mighty things from God in answer to prayer. But if we don't ask, we don't get them. We don't get them. And so again, God is a promise-keeping, covenant-keeping God. But if we don't keep our part of the agreement, he ain't going to keep his. You might say, this was a bad time for them to be circumcised. I mean, they just come into the enemy land. They hadn't won one victory yet. Circumcision for grown men was a painful experience. It did leave a man weakened. You remember in Genesis chapter 34, when Jacob's daughter, Dinah, a man by the name of Shechem, took her and lay with her, the Bible says. And he came back to her dad and her brothers, and they said, I'd like to have this girl for my wife. And the Bible says that the brothers dealt deceitfully with Shechem and his father Hamor because he said, well, the only way we can let you have our sister for your wife is that you become circumcised. Hamor was the prince of the country, and he went back to the city and talked all the men in the city to getting circumcised. He said, we can have their cattle, and we can have all their property, but the only way they'll stay here is we all get circumcised. So they all got circumcised, and on the third day, when they were sore, two guys, Simon and Levi, came in and killed every man in the city. Two guys. And again, it just shows you the weakened state that they were in. And if Joshua would have said, under his own his idea, I think we should all be circumcised, they probably would have voted him out. What's the matter with you? We're about to go into battle, and you want us to weaken ourselves? How do we know that the city of Jericho is not going to come out here and attack us when they see that we're weak? It wasn't Joshua's command, it was God's command. And when God says to do something, it doesn't matter the circumstances we go into, because when he directs, it's his responsibility to protect. When God directs, don't worry about the circumstances, because if we're obedient to him, he has a responsibility to protect us in those circumstances. And so in verse 9, it says, wherefore the name of that place is called Gilgal unto this day. That name Gilgal comes from a word which means take away. Take away. And that verse 9 says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you all. I've rolled away or taken away the reproach of Egypt from you all. Now let me remind you of the picture that's painted with the children of Israel. Egypt represents the world. The crossing of the Red Sea represents salvation. Wandering in the wilderness pictures the Christian life. Crossing of Jordan pictures death. The land of Canaan represents heaven. What God is saying to Joshua, as these people are circumcised, he says, I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt. I have rolled away the reproach of the world from you. In Acts chapter 15, the early church was in a big debate. There were Jewish people that came to Antioch, where Paul and Barnabas were pastors of the church there. And these people that had come from Jerusalem, these Jews, were teaching the Gentile Christians that in order to be saved, they had to be circumcised. And you remember in Acts chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas went back to Jerusalem. They were part of a council, a church council, that debated the issue. I don't have time to tell you the whole story tonight, but at the end of the council, they decided and sent word back via a letter and back with two guys they sent back with Paul and Barnabas. One of them was Silas, who became Paul's partner in a second missionary journey. They sent word back to Antioch, said, hey, we did not send these guys, nor do we think that you have to be circumcised to be saved. Later, Paul would write in the book of Romans, chapter 2, verse 29. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Circumcision is that of the heart, where the heart turns from the world, and turns from the sins and the other things in the world, and turns to God. The things of the world, Paul writes again in the book of Philippians, he said, all those things that were important to me at one time, they're just like garbage now. They're done. They don't mean anything at all. That I may know him. And that's the circumcision that we need to be concerned about today. The circumcision of the heart, where we cut off, take away from our hearts all the things of the world that keep us from being like Jesus, that keep us from getting to know him better. It's a work of the Spirit, a work of the Spirit. And man can't see it, okay? Whose praise is not of men. Man can't see it, but whose praise is of God. Man can't see it because we look on the outside. God can see it because he looks on the heart. On the heart. And so, circumcision of flesh, we don't believe that circumcision is a requirement for salvation, just like the early church did. But circumcision of the heart is what every Christian needs to do. To cut themselves off, to turn away from, to let the Spirit roll away from them all the things of the world so that they can get to know God better and get to be closer to him. Glad you were here tonight. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.